Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And a happy new year to all. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 26th and 27th, as we've been saying for 20 years. In the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio, when a season opens or reopens, indeed cause for a New Year's celebration. We're a little early on this one. However, next Friday is the opening of the special Canada Goose season and also the Mudhen, a.k.a. Railbird season. I just love my Railbirds. Hey, in 14 days, check it out. Early bow season, and with that, 28 DMZs around the state opens. Don't forget the antler point restrictions and 13 of those. All the information for everything is in the Fish and Wildlife Hunting and Trapping Digest. The hard copy is available at license issuing agents and also online, njfishandwildlife.com. Again, mark Saturday, October 14th on your calendar. It's going to be the annual Sporting Clays fundraiser for the New Jersey Outdoor Alliance. It's going to be held at the incredible Red Wing Sporting Clays. They're on Suey's Landing Road in Port Republic. Shout out to Roger and Danny, that entire crew, for making this work. Go to njoa.org for the particulars on that. But it's a $75 donation. You get 100 rounds. You know, clay birds out there, no single shotguns. Okay, they said that for my benefit, of course. And they're going to feed you. It's going to be a great time. Some great door prizes, all that good stuff. Hey, man, we're up against a heartbreak coming up. We're going to be talking this September Canada Goose Perspectives with DEP's fish and wildlife biologist, Ted Nichols. He is also the state's waterfowl project leader. After that, man, we have some killer crab recipes with, I'm not going to even give the guy's name, very special guest. And hey, before we go, shout out to the lovely Julie Manhart, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Met her in a tackle shop this past week. She was picking up a bunch of bunker. She said, I'm a Jersey native. We're here to catch some crabs. But she's down there in Louisiana, Sportsman's Paradise. She says, Tom P, it's hot. I mean hot. I said, I know. I was down there in Slidell for a while. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, talking honkers in our next segment. Be right back.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Any trade. Bring any trade to Matt Black Nissan, because AJ the trade man is in need of more trades. Used car values have been all over the map, but AJ has one mission: give you the best trade value and get you into a new Matt Black Nissan with zero down, zero payments for 90 days, and 0% financing on every new Matt Black Nissan.
Oh yeah, it's on at Matt Black Nissan.
Even if you owe thousands more than it's worth, AJ the trade man wants your trade. Plus, with your job clearing $350 per week, you're practically approved with zero down and zero interest on every new Nissan in stock. For 36 months, all backed by Matt Blatt's 4-day love it or leave it return policy. Only at MattBlattNissan.com. On approved tier 1 credit through DMAC, negative equity will be refinanced into new vehicle plus tax tag and $589 dock fee. Offers can't be combined. Call 877-289-6670 or go to MattBlattNissan.com for complete details. Offer ends 9-7-2023. It's on at Matt Blatt Nissan on the Black Horse Pike. Egg Harbor Township.
Are you already doing digital advertising sales? Do you know all about targeted displays, social media marketing, the latest in SEM, and behavioral targeting? If so, you could be Townsquare Media's new advertising sales star. We are looking for passionate sales professionals to join our media and digital advertising team. If consulting and connecting local businesses with their ideal audience for growth sounds exciting, well, let's have a conversation about you working for Townsquare Media. Right now is the perfect time to join our team as an advertising account executive. Our comp package is amazing, with unlimited earning potential, including base salary, mobile phone, auto package, 401k match, and more, along with world-class training and plenty of room for growth. If you're competitive, driven, and have the ability to communicate great ideas, we want to hear from you. Reach out to Michael Rubel, Market President, at 609-910-5249 or visit careers.townsquaremedia.com. Townsquare Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Attention, small business owners. Looking for new ways to grow your business that won't break the bank? What if I told you it all starts with just two easy steps? Step one, stop wasting precious time and money on leads that are being shared with your competition. Step two, speak with the experts at Townsquare Interactive, delivering digital marketing solutions perfectly tailored to your business. You'll get the people and the platform to get in front of more local customers, all for one affordable monthly rate. The best part? No more sharing leads. Your ideal customer will come directly to you. Ready to get started? Go to townsquarelocal.com to use our free traffic estimator and see how many local customers your business could be reaching right now. See why we've been trusted by more than 100,000 small businesses. Go to townsquarelocal.com. That's townsquarelocal.com. And there you can use our free traffic estimator and see how many local customers your business could be reaching right now. Start growing your business today. Townsquarelocal.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Well, again, a happy new year, September 1st, next Friday. The September Canada Goose season opens statewide. It's going to run through Saturday, September 30th. Now, hours are half hour before sunrise, too. This is the key, half hour after sunset. Unplugged shotguns, no more than 7 shells. Electronic calls are allowed, of course, non-toxic shot. And I think a bag limit is 15 birds. It is it's always a pop to me. I love my rail birds. September 1st, clapper rails. In fact, next week we're going to be talking maybe some soar rails up there in the Mullica. But September 1st, I think it's been going on since the mid-90s, the resident Canada goose season. And because they are everywhere, at least this season is sort of keeping the numbers level. Join us on the line to talk a few minutes about the Canada Goose September season. Perspectives is Ted Nichols. He is a wildlife biologist, DEP's Fish and Wildlife, and is the state's waterfowl project leader. Ted Nichols, thanks for joining us, man. How you doing?
Okay, Tom. Thanks for having us on today.
Always a pleasure, man. Oh, September 1st, you know, it was always rail birds for me, but ever since this Canada Goose season started, you know, the resident, it's actually been a toy cost. 50-50 if it's working out, but I'm just loving the September season. People, not as easy as you think. People, oh, you know, the young birds are going to be careless. They're eating primarily, from what I see, grasses, and Ted, they can be really persnickety, and they can be everywhere. Keying in on these birds is not as easy as a lot of people think. Would you agree?
You got that right, Tom. I mean, if you have a really good place, and mostly that means places where there's sweet corn that's been harvested and the stalks and stuff mowed down, that's really good. A lot of people really ought to pay attention to stuff like the weedy edges of fields, which are really just bonanza this year with annual plants because there's been so much abundant rainfall.
Right.
Stuff like ragweed and foxtail growing tall. Canada geese love to eat that stuff, and it's a good place to hide. That can be just as good as some of these crop fields if you can find them.
And Ted, another thing too, we had some access to. The guy says, "Yeah, bleep, 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 bleep those things." Some sod fields up there in Central Jersey, and it was again. We had to pick our times. The morning was so. The evening, though, at that extra half hour after sunset, they were coming in because there was a Millstone River was behind us, and they were roosting on that. That is a bang up, man. So listen, if you can get access to sod fields, things like that, the greenery, they are absolutely, geese are going to be all around it. But Ted, the population now, resident, is it still around that 100,000 mark?
Now, Tom, it's declined. That 100,000 mark was kind of at its peak at the turn of the millennium there, and it's down to about 65,000, and it's been that way for the past 5-10 years. And some of that's due to hunting seasons. There's also been a proliferation and increase and acceptance of Roundup and culls where, yeah. Agencies will go out in the summertime when the birds are molting and areas where there are real problems and Roundup and cull birds like that.
Ted, when did you notice, again, that all of a sudden the geese were staying here? I mean, to me, as a youngster growing up, you know, the 60s, 70s, into the 80s, I mean, it was always, couldn't wait for Canada season because the migrants are coming down. And I would notice more here, more there. I mean, these things aren't leaving. And when did they all of a sudden say, hey, man, this is fine here. We're staying here, like at Johnson & Johnson Corporate Park up there. I think it's still there, Route 130 and Route 1 up there in Middlesex County. Whoa. So when did you notice that happening?
So that's a little bit of a misnomer there, Tom. A lot of people have this perception or think that, well, you know, the doggone geese stopped going to the Arctic and they're just staying here. And that's not really true. Geese seem to be really, really faithful to the places where they hatched and were raised. Arctic geese go back to the Arctic. What happened here in the Mid-Atlantic, you know, geese were not native as breeding birds here, but they were, you know, really close in the Great Lakes and all through the Intermountain West.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those birds were purposefully moved here in the 50s and 60s. People had decoy flocks, you know, that went you know, in the 1920s, turned those loose when it became illegal to use live birds as decoys. And it kind of was just like a human population coming into North America. It started to grow really, really, really slow. And then with the Industrial Revolution, it just took off. Canada geese kind of did that same thing. But, you know, their source population were birds that were from the mid-latitude. And it just took a while for that to kind of gain momentum and grow. And all that started to happen in the 1980s and just exploded during the 90s. And that's not unique to here, all across the eastern United States and southern Canada.
Well, Ted, instituting this season, I was to again, call some numbers, get their numbers down to manageable levels. But also, they do some damage to properties, don't they? Especially water bodies, like smaller ponds, whatever. They can be a nuisance.
For sure, Tom. And, you know, you brought up turf farms as being some of those places that, you know, are key to go after. And, you know, there's a tremendous amount of damage there, a lot of damage to young crops, particularly young crops. Soybeans and things that are really close, and I guess what I mean by that oftentimes is the ability of birds to walk out of a lake or a wetland or whatever into crop fields and can really wreak a lot of havoc there.
And I noticed that too, especially, again, these are the municipalities, suburban mostly, where the county parks, the city parks. I mean, I noticed this especially, Ted, because we do a lot of urban and suburban trout fishing in the spring, first couple of weeks of the season. Like, why pay the gas to travel all over the place? And you notice it, it's wow. And then they have the goslings pretty early, don't they? Aren't those little suckers out there by the second week in April, hatched, third week in April?
You're right, Tom. I mean, they start hatching out the beginning of April, and they peak probably the last week in April. And, you know, that's a huge influx of birds in any given year. And those goslings are just eating machines. You know, they just eat a lot of grass, a lot of vegetation, and they're not real efficient at digesting it. And, of course, you know what the end result is.
Yes. Joining us on the line is Ted Nichols. He is a wildlife biologist with DEP's Fish and Wildlife. He's also the state's waterfowl project leader. Talks the September Canada goose season. Again, special regulation there. Oh, by the way, the digest, it's been out for a week. You get the hard copy at licensed issuing agents, and it's also online. Ted, so it's around 65,000 has been reduced. So that's a manageable population. Would you like even more of a reduction on the resident birds?
Well, there's a management goal and a plan there, Tom, and it sits at about 45,000 birds. So it seems like we have a way to go to get to that, and that's always been the case with Canada geese. And, you know, this season, the September season, is pretty much time to occur before all the migrants get here. That's why it ends on the 30th of September, and that's why the bag limits and the regulations are very, very liberal for that September season.
Hey, speaking of liberal, Nichols, let me run this by you. Okay, you want to get those numbers down, and it's pun intended, people, pie in the sky, because I don't think anyone ever guesses. Any way to up the bag limit in September, say from 15 to 20?
Well,
is that feasible?
But, I mean, it becomes a law of diminishing returns. I mean, we've already seen that. You know, we did, you know, when you go from, we went from 5 birds in the bag to 8 to 15, and, you know, it just, we could make it unlimited, and it's really, unlimited really isn't all that different functionally than 15. It's a pretty rare day, and even people that are really, really experienced Canada goose hunters probably only remember the number of days they could count on one hand where they could kill 15 birds.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, just throw it out there. Let the option be there. Well, Ted, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. Listeners, you're going to need your state waterfowl stamp, and don't forget your federal waterfowl stamp and your HIP number. Okay, September Canada goose season is going to run from next Friday, September 1st, to Saturday, September 30th, 15 bird limit. And Ted, I'll tell you, there's prime opportunities on a lot of public lands, management areas and stuff. It's wide open.
Yeah, a lot of people, when you think about Canada goose hunting, you think about field hunting, and they get kind of frustrated in September because there's not a lot of opportunity. And people shouldn't forget wetland opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, those geese will go up and eat all that stuff early in the morning, and then a lot of times head back to wetlands or lakes or whatever to drink and to grit up, like between 8:30 and 10:30 in the morning. You can have some pretty phenomenal hunts. And just like all other waterfowl hunting, but probably more so in September, you really got to put in the time scouting to find a good spot.
And that's what we've been doing. I've been driving up, down, and sideways. But I'll tell you, people, my Xterra, all 300-something thousand miles on, it is a thirsty beast. But I just love the September goose season that much. It is worth it. Well, Ted, thanks for joining us. Have a great and safe season yourself. I hope to see you one of these days, maybe at the Tuckerton Gunning and Decoy Show. You going to be there?
Sure will, and that's right around the corner. And it's great to have choices, right, Tom? I mean, you can go after September geese, you can go after rails. Yeah. All the fishing kind of comes back on when as the water cools down and things cool down.
And I love my clapper rail. Again, people, I always say this. Again, the sores, we're going to have a sore segment next week, but the clapper rails, they eat the fiddler crabs, they eat the killies, they eat all the benthic goose stuff. And, man, I'll tell you, be surprised. A little lemon, a little butter, a little garlic, they taste like little pods of roast beef. But that's another story. Ted, you take care, man. Have a great season. See you with the Decoy Show.
See you soon, Tom. Yeah, thanks, brother, for having us on.
Ted Nichols, great guy. You see with the Decoy Show, but he's surrounded. And the guy is just a wealth, extreme wealth of not only waterfowl knowledge, wildlife knowledge. Good guy. Great credit. Can I even say Division of Fish and Wildlife anymore? Is that allowed? I don't know, but always a great guest on Rack and Fin. Okay, people, grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. We got some kick-ass killer culinary delight crab recipes coming up in our next segment with Jim Hutchinson Sr. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Fox on Tech.
ChatGPT and all the graphic AIs can be fun to play with, like creating pictures of yourself as a Norse warrior or something. But AI is also being used to help people who have suffered disease or injuries to their brain. Combined with a new neural interface with the brain, researchers at the University of California in San Francisco have given Anne, a stroke victim, a way to speak. A device implanted through her skull connects with her brain, and AI learns her thought patterns associated with language and generates spoken words. She and her husband, Bill, have a conversation.
Hey, Anne, how's it going?
It is good to see you.
I was thinking about running to the store.
What time will you be home?
In about an hour.
Do not make me laugh.
The voice you hear is created from a recording of Anne speaking at her wedding from years ago. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
It's Harry Hurley. Scientists are saying that the first 2 weeks of July were the Earth's hottest on human record. So if your air conditioning system isn't keeping you comfortable, don't assume it's going to cool down anytime soon. Call my friends at Ambient Comfort Heating and Cooling Professionals for an air conditioning system tune-up that's just $59 for new customers. Regular maintenance helps avoid costly repairs. It increases the life of your system, saves on energy costs, and keeps you comfortable. The pros at Ambient Comfort will clean and adjust your system so it's running safe and at maximum efficiency, regardless of who originally installed it. The first pound of R22 refrigerant is included if needed. When comfort matters, choose who I choose, Ambient Comfort, and schedule your $59 tune-up right now. Visit AmbientComfortNJ.com. That's AmbientComfortNJ.com or call 568-0955. That's 609-568-0955 and tell them that Harry Hurley sent you.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles let you create your own delicious combo. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, and a medium hot coffee. But it's obvious which combo's the best. Sausage biscuit and small seasoned potatoes. Well, maybe it's the fresh cracked egg and cheese biscuit with a medium hot coffee. Or two savory sausage biscuits. Whichever you pick, you can't go wrong. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price.
The biannual blowout is just a week away, and we've got a lot of work to do.
Kenan's Rug Emporium is rolling out a Labor Day bonanza.
We have that flatweed shipment coming in.
He needs 10 new sales associates as the crowds loom large.
Can someone run a stock check on all the Moroccan 8x10s?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 26th and 27th. The countdown to the hunting season continues. But hey, there's still so much going on. Especially on the briny front, the crabbing has been, we're always talking flounder, tuna, whatever. The crabbing has been predicated on where you are, of course, in the moon phase, the sheds and whatever. It has been off the charts this season. Now, I'm from the old Italian school, and I'm Italian, so I can go half town. So I can say this, I'll keep them at the 4.5, 4.75 inch, whatever. I'll keep, especially the rusties, the dirty on the bottom. These things are packed. They were like little hand grenades. Well, Dean Reese says, what are you doing with that? I said, whoa, let me try. And of course, it's always a, you have to get the pot of gravy going with the linguine. But now that I'm been off the Ronies now for 4 months, people, it's killing me. So I'm a few sizes down in the pants, but it's killing me. Anyway, making some crabs at Eggenada. We'll go into that recipe sometime, maybe in a winter, in a winter segment. But the crabs have been spectacular, even in the lagoons. Guys are getting loads of keepers, and some of these things are big. We've seen crabs 7 inches, 7 1/4, 6 3/4, pretty common. But crab cookery, a lot of it's just, like what I do with the gravy, the sauce, whatever. They do that, or eggnog stuff, and some breadcrumbs. Or 99% of the time, at least I'm finding this in South Jersey all the years I've been here, it's just the Old Bay. And sometimes some garlic crabs, just the Old Bay. There's so much more than you can do with crabs. I learned that firsthand with a very special guest. Good longtime friend of Rack and Fin Radio is Jim Hutchinson, Sr. Sr. Yeah, not Hutch Jr., managing editor of Fisherman Magazine. Hutch Sr. Now, Hutch is a fishing writer and columnist. I call him the master chef of fish and shellfish cookery. Jim also had a cooking cable TV show several years ago, and for 15 years taught seafood cookery at the adult school at Southern Regional. Go Rams. Man, that's some track record he has. But I'll tell you, the guy's still in great shape. I mean, if I can cook like that, boy, I'd really be ballooning. Jim has some three quickie but delectable blue crab recipes for us right now. He is on the Rack and Fin line. We got him, and he's not fishing. How you doing, Big Hutch?
I'm doing good, Tom. How are you?
Good. Great to have you back on Rack and Fin. Long time. Have you been fishing much or clamming much or crabbing much? It seems you're all over the map.
Yes, to all three. Yep, crabbing. Great year for crabbing and getting enough clams to eat. And I don't know if I'm catching enough fish to eat, but I'm having a few fish dinners.
Well, Jim, you know my proclivities, my lack of angling acumen, even at my age, but the crabbing's been phenomenal, at least where we've been going, Jim. So would you agree with that? Have you had opportunity to get out there for the Blue Claws?
Yes, very much. I've got a couple of the commercial-style pots that I have out, and I'd say this is the best year I've had for several years. Right now I'm crabbing down in your neck of the woods down in Great Bay. It's been very good.
Nice. Well, Jim, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but again, all the years I've been here, again, it's simple and they're good. I just cooking the crabs with the guts in them, man. That's not my thing. And I do the Old Bay on occasion in a quickie, but I always clean them first. But Jim, the Old Bay route seems to be the most common, but you struck on some recipes here that are just tongue slap your brains out delicious and pretty easy and a variation from the norm. How did you come up with these? Just experimenting?
Experimenting, weird things. I've got one recipe that was in a Cooking Light magazine, and I changed it around so it's for us heavy eaters, and it turned out to be a great recipe. Pick things up along the way. But you mentioned easy, and that's kind of what I've always advocated, is having easy recipes, just limiting the number of ingredients, and you pick one thing, and here we're talking crab meat, and that's the star of your meal.
Right, Jim, the thing, too, with the recipe, too, what I notice in yours, again, listeners, simplicity. Keep it simple in the kitchen,
absolutely.
Because the last thing I want to do, Hutch, is have to go to a specialty store with a list looking for this, looking for that. Your recipes key in, they're scrumptiliumptious, and they're right going. Jim, how do you want to start? We have three right here. We have your crab soup, we have toasted crab appetizer, and we have your patented Hutch Fantastic Crab Dip. Which one do you want to take in order? Go.
Let's do the dipping block because that's the easiest. And by the way, what I do is I catch quite a few crabs, and I'll sit at home like watching a Phillies game, and I'll pick the crabs, vacuum seal them, and I've got probably about 18 pounds of frozen crab in my freezer right now for the winter.
And so, I think I have your address, Hutch. No, go ahead.
It's under lock and key. But the first one, I never use frozen crab. This is, you have to use the fresh crab. And it's just basically three ingredients. You just put a block of one of those small blocks of cream cheese on a plate, make up some cocktail sauce and cover it in that red sauce so you can't see any of the white, and then put a 6 to 8 ounces of the fresh crab meat right on top of the sauce. So, and then you bunch of Ritz crackers and a knife to pick it up with. and you've got this block that looks neat because you got the white cream cheese, the red
nice.
Cocktail sauce, the crab meat on top, and you just scoop them on the cracker, and you can't stop eating.
Listen, he's right about that. Hutch, I'm going to sandbag you. You know me, I'm infamous for that. You make your own cocktail sauce? Can you shoot out a recipe, man? Because it is luscious.
Basically, just the taste, but ketchup, horseradish, fresh lemon, squeezed lemon juice.
There you go.
And just a dash or two of Tabasco. And the key is you just keep adding the horseradish until it's just the way you want it. And if you go too far, well, throw a little more ketchup in.
Okay, listen, now once you start with that, you're going to want more. So let's get to the toasted crab appetizer.
Yes, this was given to me by a friend a long time ago. Just start out, get a half a dozen English muffins and slice them in half, and you make the dip, that's not a dip, but the glop, I guess you'd call it, with a stick of butter, let it get to room temperature, and then they have these little jars in the supermarket of this old English cheese spread. It's kind of like a cheddar cheese spread. It's about a 6-ounce jar. You put a jar of that, mix that in with the butter really well until it's completely mixed. Throw in a tablespoon of mayonnaise and then maybe a dash of garlic powder.
Okay, Jim, let me interrupt you for a second. Two things. One, I'm a stickler with the fats. You know me with the butter. Salted butter or sweet cream, no salt?
Oh, no, salted butter or margarine. If you want to use margarine, that's okay, too.
Okay, now on the mayo, okay, I've been doing this. To me, it's like Entenmann's fat-free pound cake. The stuff just isn't of this earth. I've been using that light mayo. And, Jim, you could whip your knife around. It won't come off the butter knife. I mean, that stuff is – so you would go with the real mayo. Like my other fave is is Duke's or Hellman's.
Yes, I'm a Hellman's man all the way.
Don't go light with the mayo, people. It's not it's – Joe, listen to Harry Hurley the other morning coming down. You can patch holes with that light mayo stuff. So continue, bro.
Okay, so once you have that all mixed up, your stick of butter, your jar of Old English, and a tablespoon of mayonnaise, and a half a teaspoon of garlic powder, mix it up, spread it on those 12 English muffin halves, cut each English muffin half into quarters, so you've got, 48 little triangles almost. Put them on a cookie sheet and put into an oven that's been preheated to 350. About 10-15 minutes till they start to get just a little crispy on top, and they're ready to go. I've got grandkids who don't want to come within 6 feet of seafood, and they scuff them down like it's gold. That's one of those like eating peanuts. You can't stop.
You can't. Hutch, listen, I got sweat on my upper lip here. After this, I'm going crabbing. Forget the fish and chirp. I'm going crabbing. The flounder can wait.
what I do with them too is I'll make up a whole batch of them and put them in a Ziploc bag and put them in the freezer. And then when I'm going to use them, you know what I didn't mention is the crab meat. You want about a half a pound of crab meat in there, obviously.
Jim, from the lump end or the claw meat, does it make a difference? I like them both.
Yeah, I do too. I generally, when I'm cleaning the crabs, I usually just mix them all together. Sometimes if I got a lot of crabs, I might go through and I'll take out the lump, put that in a bowl, and then the regular body, and then the claw. I like the claw in crab salad.
Absolutely. And do not, even in a pinch like I did once in an emergency phone, hey, we're on our way over. What? Oh, yeah, sure, come on over. Jim, I use that, again, another thing, people, that's not of this earth. I call it like the plastic crab. You ever see those in the supermarket? Whenever that stuff is pressed together and dyed red and orange.
Oh, the imitation crab meat, yeah.
That doesn't work.
No.
Trust me on that. Okay, Hutch, now we just love this the other evening. Listen, we had the privilege of enjoying each, my lovely Dee Marie and me, a bowl of Jim Hutchinson Sr.'s crab soup. Unbelievable. Hutch, that you ought to go in. Let's invest. Let's talk. I'll get my account here. We got to do something here, Hutch. I could make a zillion dollars with that. coming up with that recipe, Hutch. Trial and error was the dealio.
No, I got to confess, it came from my mother-in-law, Ada Abbott. We went down to visit them. They live in Tennessee now, and we went down to visit them, and she brought this soup up out, and it was just fantastic. And I used to make cream of she crab soup, mm-hmm. and all kinds of steps and all involved. And this soup is just a piece of cake to make.
Oh, it sure didn't taste like that. How long did Hutch take to make? I said, "Man, I don't know, man. Just oh, save me that last spoonful." Yeah, we had a little sword fight there.
I'll bet it takes 10 minutes to make.
Whoa!
You start out, get an envelope of hollandaise sauce mix, and you know the stuff you buy in the store.
Yeah.
Mix that up with 3 tablespoons of flour. So you've got this dry mix of the hollandaise sauce and 3 tablespoons of flour, and you mix that with 2 cups of half and half, so it's all stirred in together and there's no lumps in there. Then in a saucepan, melt some butter, 1/4 cup of butter, and add that half and half mixture and stir it until it gets good and thick, because it thickens up just
right.
The way it would with hollandaise sauce. Then you throw in another 2 cups of half and half, some spices. You want 2 tablespoons of your Old Bay. I know how you like your Old Bay. So mm-hmm. we'll put 2 tablespoons of that in there, 1/2 teaspoon of dry mustard, a little bit of celery seed, and 1 cup of heavy cream, 3 tablespoons of cooking cherry, and 1 pound of fresh crab meat. Stir all that together, and bingo, you're in business.
It was, listeners, let me tell you something. Again, I use this term all the time, learn it. Shout out to Ronnie Mazursky way back when in Slidell, Louisiana. Make a tongue slap your brains out. And Jim, you said, and everything you said, except for the pound of crab meat, everything that you said, I have in the house. I have in the cupboard, yeah. A pantry, whatever you want to call it. So, listeners, easy peasy. You can, if you didn't get a chance to write this down, you can go to the podcast. Okay, it'll be up a little later on today, Saturday. So check these recipes out. Master Chef, Master Fish and Shellfish Cookery is Jim Hutchinson Sr. Hutch, back to the TV show and teaching.
Could I just interrupt 1 second?
Yeah.
I thought I'll put out my email address if you want, and I've got all 3 of these recipes on a sheet. Anybody wants to email me, I'll just shoot you the email.
Go, man.
James G. Hutch 1@AOL.com. JamesGHutch 1@AOL.com. And any emails that I got, I'll shoot them out. They're all on 1 sheet of paper, all ready to go.
Dude, this is going to be the hit, especially with the Labor Day weekend coming up. You're going to have guests over. Get out there. Jim, to me, the best crabbing actually starts about the Labor Day weekend. Because we'll crab right through October. And again, that gets diced into the first week in November. So based on water temperature, I get that. But, you know, you got the hunting going on. You got the fishing, fresh and salts going crazy. They're stocking trout. The stripers are starting to. So we carefully pick our times. And listen, that's when you get these, we call them the bombers. These big crabs, they're the size of what Clark used to hike in between his legs back to the punter.
Absolutely. It's like you and I. We stock up for the whole winter. So those crabs in September start eating everything they can get because they spend the winter in the mud mm-hmm. hibernating, and they stock up on the food.
Hey,
and they're as big as they're going to be all year. Fall's a great time to crab.
We're up against a hard break here, but just have a minute left, Hutch. Just as a non sequitur, though, have you noticed the paucity of blowfish this year?
Yes.
I'm worried about the cycle
yes.
is starting from when it dropped off the map in 1970 and resurrected in 2005 or 6. We've had 17 years of plenty, and now, I mean, they're hard to find. We're getting a few, but they're hard to find. What's your take?
I agree with you. I think it's a cycle. I was talking to Joe Rizzo, who's a fishing guide in the upper Barnegat Bay, and he's been a bayman all his life. Now he's moved into guiding, and he said he's catching a couple blowfish, but not like he used to.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like you said, it's just a cycle.
Yeah.
What I'd like to see is maybe another fish, it's a cycle, or croakers come back.
Oh, I'd like
heard
to, yeah.
A couple caught, but not a lot of them. But
I'd like to see the croakers back, Jim, and I'll tell you, some of the spots, I call them Lafayette's people, again, Louisiana time, some of the spots, Jim, they're the size of big bluegills, man. They're going in the frying pan on my end.
You've eaten them, right?
Oh, yeah.
They are tasty.
They are good. Well, Hutch, thanks for joining us on Rackham. Listeners, go to Hutch's email. He will get you these recipes, or go to the podcast, or I don't know, whatever. Just absolutely spectacular. Easy peasy to make. Crabbing is at its peak. It's going to get even better. This is a great crabbing season, so get out and enjoy. Hutch, hope to see you on the water, man.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Only one talk station in South Jersey has an app that's focused exclusively on what's happening in Atlantic and Cape May counties. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Don't fish through some generic app along with thousands of other stations. The WPG Talk Radio app brings you the latest South Jersey news and weather information, breaking news push notifications, and more. Download the WPG Talk Radio app today through WPGTalkRadio.com.
Fox News. Former President Donald Trump's GOP primary opponents are reacting following his arrest in Georgia and that mugshot.
First of all, we shouldn't assume that he's going to be convicted. And the second thing is we shouldn't assume that he's going to be the nominee.
Candidate Nikki Haley, former President Trump, is also facing charges in New York, Florida, and in Washington, D.C. Within a day of Maui County releasing 388 names of people still listed as unaccounted for following the deadliest U.S. wildfire in more than a century, more than 100 of them or their relatives have come forward to say they're okay. The information comes from the FBI, which is reviewing the information they've been provided and working to remove names from the list once their whereabouts are confirmed. Several people on the list said Friday they are alive and well. A few also said that they were confused and frustrated to be on that list in the first place. America is listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. This evening, a thunderstorm, otherwise partly cloudy and humid for tonight with a low of 71. It'll be humid tomorrow with a blend of clouds and sun, high 89. Grab the umbrella for Sunday and mix the clouds and sunshine. Passing shower or two, it'll be humid with a high of 83. For AccuWeather, I'm Cheryl Golden on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, man. I just did a blog about summer bronze. I love the wet waiting for the bronze backs now, man. Yeah, a.k.a. Smalls. Yeah, we hit some of the North Jersey streams and rivers there, including the, well, the Delaware. You have to do it by boat if you want the bigger fish. But it is. I love this late summertime. It is prime time. Things are kicking off. Well, you know, on Rack and Fin Radio, we always try every 3-4 weeks, introduce some new products that are going to be available soon or available the following year. Okay, because, again, I'm in the industry a long time. Things are, they're already working on probably 2025 product lines. Had a press release about probably a month ago, maybe a little more than that. It was just prior to ICAST that was held in July down here in Orlando. A real company, Seven, S-E-V. Now, check this out. Not S-E-V-E-N, but S-E, and then like the Roman numerals, V-1-1-N. Seven Reels, affiliated with, I believe it's a brand of St. Croix. You know, the best rods, finest rods on earth. They've been around for, what, how many years? 70, 75 years? Was pretty intriguing. First thing you think of, wow, another reel company. What could they do differently? Well, let me tell you something. Just looking at specs here and knowing some people in the industry like I do and doing some checking here and there, the concept, the quality, the craftsmanship, these things are going to be gangbusters. Now, there's a low-profile bait casting series, and there's a three-model spinning series. The spinning's not going to be available, from what I understand, until after January 1st. However, September 1st, the GF series, low-profile baitcast. I think that stands for Go Far or something, because this thing looks like a little pocket rocket. That's going to be introduced. Joining on the line right now, first time on Rack and Fin Radio, is Mr. Robert Woods. He's the brand manager for, product manager, rather, for Seven Reels. I have to ask him, is this part of St. Croix, an affiliate of St. Croix? What's the deal here with St. Croix? Robert Woods, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Good. Thanks for having me, Tom. Yeah, Seven is a brand under the St. Croix portfolio of brands.
Again, getting into the you got a super successful rod company, known around the world. Getting into the super highly competitive reel business. Now, you know, you have the Shimano, you have the Dive, you have all these other. But I'm telling you, it looks like you guys are really, really going balls to the walls with this. The products look fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have an entire dedicated rod team. And when we decided to go down this path, we brought in an entire dedicated reel team as well, from myself to industrial designers to contracting with industry veterans. We have one individual who was with one of the largest reel manufacturers in the world at one point, mm-hmm. For 30 years on the engineering and the product management side. So we are all in on reels.
Again, they look incredible. And listen, the price points here, I'm not going to mention price, but they are, I'll say, reasonable, almost beyond reasonable for what I'm going by what the specs say. And again, some conversations I've had. But Robert, now the story behind Seven, the name, what's that all about?
So we had to go down a path of what is our reel company going to be called. We couldn't call them St. Croix Reels. That would be disingenuous. So what we did is we actually explored different options, and we wanted to lean into the heritage of St. Croix Rods. So they've been building rods for seven decades. That's part of it. We have been wanting to be on the water 7 days of the week for as long as we've been on Earth. And Scott Forestall won't let it happen right now, but that's part of it.
Shout out to Forestall.
We want to explore them all.
Again, getting these, again, the materials, the trial and error, again, because you're entering the arena. I mean, this is like Gladiator, like the big deal in Rome. So getting the materials together, the trials, the errors, how long actually until you said, okay, we're off the drawing board, we're into production, these things are going to be ready to go. How long did that take?
2 years, roughly. Mm-hmm. With all the field testing that takes place, the development time, about 2 years.
And trial and error now, fresh and salt water, because it looks like you have a kick-ass saltwater spinning series.
Correct, correct. And that's a whole different animal when you begin the testing phase as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, penetrating the bass market with this GF series, I mean, good feedback so far. I mean, I'm sure you have field trials out there, your own crew especially. How's the feedback been?
Tremendous, actually. Like you said, that looks like a little rocket, and it is. We really looked at what makes a casting reel perform well. You know, so we focused in on castability and ease of use. Simple to use, but effective magnetic cast control. And then we put emphasis on the casting distance by adding Japanese stainless bearings on the spool shaft there. That thing will cast a mile.
One very interesting aspect I found on a GF series, a thing called a line memo. Check this out, man. Line memo. Go into that, please.
Yeah, you know, the angler, a particular bass angler, might have 20 rods on his deck, and he wants to pick it up quick and remember what pound he had on there if he wanted to tie something else on. And he's able to do that. Just unscrew the reel real quick, take a peek, see, oh, yep, I had 10, I had 12, I had 20. Or what pound braid he had on there. Maybe he doesn't want to throw a small frog on 65 pound. And he's able to do that just as a little memory indicator, because a lot of people, sometimes they'll write on a piece of tape or something too. So especially the guys that are really particular about their lines.
One thing I have to ask you too, again, going back to the actual construction, because I've been involved with this over the years, starting with a clean sheet of white paper to draw on, or did you take the best and worst of other, you know, products out there and improve on those? Or is this, guys, you sit down and you say, let's start literally from scratch? How'd that work?
We started literally from scratch. You know, we had a confines to work in as far as, you know, overall design. And so we designed from a blank slate, and then we built the internals to our exacting specifications, what we felt would give the angler the best day on the water possible.
Now, you have in the GF series, you have six, one, two, three, four, five. You have six models, correct?
Correct.
So, and I'm looking at some of these retrieve ratios. Mary, mother of God, they go up to 8.1 from 6.61 to 8.1. That is amazing. How'd you guys do that?
You know, really just focus on the gearing. In particular, this is a 100 size casting reel too. So we wanted to be competitive and ensure that they were getting a line pickup that is required for some of the techniques that are most popular today.
And these things are feather light. I see carbon fiber is an important part of the GF series. Go into that, please.
Yeah, we wanted to focus on getting as lightweight as we could, but still focusing on that strength and ensuring that these don't fail in anger on the water. So things like the carbon fiber handle to reduce weight, but there's the added strength of carbon fiber there as well. EVA handles, a little bit reduced weight over a form of rubber. And a little bit of a wiffled spool. I wouldn't call it quite wiffled, but definitely ported to reduce weight on the spool as well.
Okay, joining us on the line this morning is Robert Woods. He is the brand manager or product manager. Says they seven reels, SEVIIN, is under the St. Croix umbrella, but an entirely different division. They have the rods. These are the reels. Now, promotions, distribution, getting the product out there. Will it be through St. Croix? Can dealers buy them without having to be, set of curiosities, I'm in the retail business as well, have to be like a minimum by St. Croix rods? Can they buy these seven reels independently from the rods?
They can. They can. And you can find them right through sevenreels.com as well. And all of the retail partners that we carry, that who carry St. Croix now, available to purchase by any other retailer.
All right. Listen, I won't go into the prices on here. Everything's subject to change. But for what I'm seeing, again, Mr. Woods, in the specs, these are beyond reasonably priced reels. And people are going to say, well, did they go cheap on this or go cheap on that? How are you pulling this off, man? I got to ask you that. How are you doing it?
Yeah, like I said, we just really focused in on what is most important in a reel. There's a lot of, I don't want to call it fluff out there, but, you know, a race to have the most bearings, and a bearing is only as good as how much you spend on it, really. So focusing on things like that, focusing on the gear feel and what materials use for a pinion and a drive gear to attain the feel we're looking for, but also that durability that this brand is going to stand for.
Oh, Rob, now with the Baycaster now, unless there's plans for products down the line, again, 2025, 2026 already, stuff's getting made. But, you know, the GSW, the Saltwater Series, spinning the GS Series, and your GX Series. Now, you're basically covering the waterfront from, I guess, panfish up to bluefish and stripers. I mean, that's kind of a wide net to cast, is it not, for a fledgling company? You guys really just like, hey, man, we have it. We have a winning formula. We have a winning product. Let's go kick some ass. What goes on in those meeting rooms? I'm curious because I miss it.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that we had out of the gate everything covered. Like you said, it's a competitive space, so we had to go in there and we had to make sure that we had the multi-species angler covered. We had the bass angler covered, and we had a good portion of saltwater covered. You know, we have the 3,000 to 8,000 size on the saltwater, everything sealed. You know, it's really important to us to make sure that what we put into our reels makes every angler better. It doesn't leave them stranded on the water. And it's also important that we have something for every angler.
That's it. You covered the base. Let's just add some ligature to this interview. We had to postpone it once because Robert and his dad were in a muskie tournament. So, see, they're not golfers. They're not pickleball players. They're anglers. So it looks like it'd be a winning combination. Wish you the best of luck. Knowing Forrest Oladipo over the many years, the CEO there, and Jeff Schluter and Paul Schluter, the whole crew, you guys are sticklers for wanting to put out the best of the best of the best you can do. So, again, hats off. Looks like it can be a winner.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
So now, as of January 1st, the reels will be in the pipeline, or are they already in the pipeline?
Yeah, GF, the casting reel, will be available 9/1.
Right.
And then the spinning reel for freshwater, GS and GX, is available January 2nd. And our saltwater spinning reel, the GSW, is available February 15th.
Wow, so this is man, you're going to hit the Florida market just right. Oh, boy. Boy, I'm thinking of maybe running back down to Summerlin Key on that one. Okay, Robert, for more information, how can people give the website, give the Instagram, Facebook, what's the dealio?
Yeah, everything is Seven Reels. SEVIIN.
And there you go. Listen, it's a new company out. The product's going to be out. The one low-profile Baycat is going to be out within a week. And the spinning wheel shall see next year. But always want to introduce a new company. Breaking news on Rack and Fin, 7 reels affiliated with St. Croix. So the best of luck to you, Mr. Woods.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
By the way, when are you going to get out to go fishing again? Boy, it must be a bummer being in Wisconsin surrounded by all those lakes and rivers, huh?
Yeah, like 3,000 within an hour of here.
Okay, last time I was in Wisconsin, I had my ass kicked by a steelhead on the Root River. I still haven't recovered. Racine. Oh, man, he kicked my ass. Okay, Robert, you take care. Best of all at the St. Croix. Take care. I'll see you soon.
Yes, thank you.
See ya. Yeah, new reel coming. We're going to do that. You got new lures coming out, new rods, new reels. I said, wow. Because they didn't say, St. Croix tried the reel business years ago. That was built by Dodd, whatever, I don't know. But, so I was pretty intrigued with this. Didn't get a chance to go to ICAST, but spoke to some people who were there and pretty impressed. So we shall see. Hey, it's a new, again, they're in the arena. You got the big guns in there, man. Big boys, I should say, whatever. So it's indeed going to be a challenge, but again, knowing the companies, it could be. So look for that 7, SEVIIN reels, 7reels.com or whatever. Check it out. Looks pretty interesting. Okay, be right back. Close it up. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
With GMF financing to qualified buyers, excludes Corvette, excludes prior sales.
Labor Day deals are here.
Yes.
Right now at Bennett Chevrolet, we've got all our red hot Labor Day deals going on now. These are special holiday sale offers you won't find anywhere else.
No way, no how.
While other dealers are still selling at or above MSRP, Bennett's selling new Chevys at GM supplier employee prices. Forget about MSRP prices, because at Bennett, you'll get the same deal employees get. You'll save even more with available 1.9% financing.
1.9%!
And right now, Bennett will pay you a minimum 10 grand for any trade towards any pre-owned in stock.
Yep, you heard right.
Bennett's giving a minimum $10,000 for any rusted out old rattle trap you can drive or even tow to Bennett Chevy. Imagine how much more you'll get for a good trade. And Bennett's famous non-commissioned sales team is paid on your satisfaction, not how much you spend, so there's never any pressure. Find new roads at Bennett Chevy, Egg Harbor Township, and BennettChevy.com.
The roar of our engines, the pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders.
I've been taking Nutrafol for about a year.
I've been taking Nutrafol just over 4.5 years.
My hair was thinning.
I just gave birth. I was under a lot of stress.
I like Nutrafol because it's drug-free and the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement.
My hair feels thicker.
Stronger.
The breakage is less.
Nutrafol has taken me back to the hair I was meant to have.
Join the 1 million people growing at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy clamming, crabbing, fishing, salt and fresh. It is going crazy. Remember, 2 weeks, opening of the archery deer season and those special DMZs. And next Friday, special Canada goose season and the rail bird season's open. It is that time of year. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next Saturday. Rack and Fin Radio.